Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Thank you very much for coming back to the show, wherever you may be. Over the last month or so, I've had emails from every corner of the globe, the latest being from Bev down in New Zealand. Bev, thank you for the email. Also to my friends in Texas and across North America, and of course, the heartland of this show, the USA. Now, you might think at the moment that I sound a little bit different, and if you think that, you're absolutely right, because I'm not in the studio, I'm not even in London. I am 6,000 miles, and the people where I am would say, 10,000 kilometers away from my base in London. And right now, I'm in somebody's home in South Africa, in Johannesburg, South Africa. It is almost the middle of June, and it is summertime in the Northern Hemisphere, and winter time down here. But in English terms, you wouldn't even know that, because this is like an English summer down here. Most of the days are sunny. The sky is blue. A lot of the time, they get a little bit of rain, and occasionally it is what they call cold. But if you live in North America or you live in London, you'll think it's warm. Because a day here in the winter time feels like a day in the summertime at home, or a day in certainly late spring. So that's where I am now. I'm in Johannesburg, and I guess the subject I'm going to talk about this time round is by popular request. We do quite a few of those. You know, I like to keep this show interactive. So if you have an idea for the show, I love it that you email me at unexplainedhh@yahoo.co.uk. That's unexplainedhh@yahoo.co.uk. Tell me your idea and it'll go into the melting pot, and we'll get there in the end. We'll do it. Now, one of the things we've talked about on email with various emailers is the subject of channeling. Okay, being able to tap into beings of light, whatever they may be. We're going to explain that in just a second. All will become clear. And get messages from those beings of light. Now, these beings of light are on a plane or dimension that we cannot see and cannot fully comprehend, but there are people who say that they can. And that's why I'm here in Johannesburg, South Africa right now. I'm with Michelle Eerloff, who is a channel or channeler. Michelle, I'm sorry for the very formal introduction there, okay? Are you a channel or channeler? What is one of those?
Well, I suppose they're both one and the same thing. Being a channel or a channeler is a vessel for higher information, higher wisdom, or just a different perspective on things, I suppose. So either one of the two terms are correct.
Channel for information from who or whom?
From higher intelligence, which could be considered from your own higher self. You could imagine it being from beings from another dimension. Angels, passed on loved ones, whatever. It's infinite. It's not limited to one specific source or one specific guide or being. It's all over. That's my understanding.
All right. And what are you particularly channeling?
I'm channeling beings or information from the realms of the Ascended Masters. And the Ascended Masters are basically beings who have lived on Earth before, who have mastered being on Earth, and they've passed over and they don't have to come back.
So they're people who are people on this plane who've accomplished things. They are, I don't know, Mother Teresa maybe, and they ascend to something better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not open to all of us. I mean, if I became an accomplished violinist, if I became Yehudi Menuhin and was really good at that, would I ascend to become a master in another plane?
Yes, in terms of what you would be able to teach, absolutely. But one of the things that we're doing here, and the motivations behind the Ascended Masters working with us, is to help us to achieve that same level. One of the other things that has been taught to us or explained to me is that, in fact, a number of us are already Ascended Masters. Some people might interpret that as being a wise soul or a soul who has had a number of incarnations on Earth already.
Is that you?
I don't know.
No, I'm just curious. You're saying that these people, they can either be on another plane or they can be here with us. Mm-hmm. But they know who they are? You don't, because if you're an Ascended Master, you don't know.
No,
does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It makes sense. I mean, I think that's one of the pitfalls of being a human being at the moment, is that we don't quite know, you know, the full extent of who we are. And you know, that I suppose that would defeat the purpose if we knew exactly who we are.
Well, you can maybe see where I'm getting to then. What I'm getting to now is, how do you know, how did you discover that you were special? Because you do think you're different. Obviously, you have a skill, a talent, an ability that's come to you from somewhere that you believe that you practice.
Yes, I'm different. I just see what I do as a specialist in a field, be it, I mean, a surgeon who specializes in a specific field or whatever it is. My field is just slightly different to that of a doctor or a dentist or an architect. My skills came about as a result of choices that I made in my life. I don't believe it's anything that, how do I put it? Not everybody can do this simply because it's not their contract, if I call it that. What it means is we come down to earth with specific contracts or tasks, rather, and your task is to do what you do, the doctor and all the other people doing what they do. What I've chosen to do is serve in this way as a channel, so to challenge people's belief systems, their attitudes, all the skeptics, challenging those aspects of myself included, and just, you know, impart information from another realm.
How did you know that you could do this? When did you find it out?
In 1996, I had an experience where I had been, I was in a group of people who did a weekly meditation, and on this one particular morning, I was asked to please lead the meditation, which I did, and sometime into the meditation, I disappeared or lost consciousness or whatever it is, and Kutumi stepped in. Kutumi is the ascended master being who I channel, who basically projects either thought forms through me or projects his own energy through my voice box and is able to communicate with other people.
Now look, there are going to be people listening to this now, some of them in the UK, very skeptical nation, the UK, we don't take anything on face value, who will have images of movies or TV shows that they've seen where somebody sat in a darkened room as a medium and they've put on a funny voice and said, "I am your Uncle Fred. He says everything on the other side is okay." Mm-hmm. Tell those people why what you're doing is different and genuine.
Well, I've been doing this for 12 years. I've got 12 years of proof that this really does work. I'm not predicting fortune telling or telling people that their aunt or uncle on the other side is okay. My role is to bring information that empowers people. And for the past 12 years, that's what I have been able to do quite successfully. And I believe that in itself is proof that what is being delivered is making a difference, is positive, is helping people, and is coming from a source that is considered a good source, if I can use that for lack of a better definition.
Give me your best example of where you've helped or empowered somebody.
The best example would be where there have been people that have been on the brink of taking their own lives, not understanding why certain things are happening in their life. And with the information that has come through me, they've been given a different perspective on what exactly is happening in their life. So why they would have created it, why they would have chosen it, and the actual gifts that it's giving them. And should they take their own life, where that is going to take them, the fact that they're going to come back, be faced with exactly the same situation all over again. But what the information has done is given them an alternative, kind of like an outlet that they could try, which they implemented, which changed their lives completely.
Okay, so you're saying that these people can't see their way, which a lot of people who get that far down experience. They can't see their own way out of the situation. Mm-hmm. They come to you, you channel Kutumi, who gives them another perspective on their own situation. Is that so?
That's correct, yeah.
But he doesn't give them the answer.
No, because at the end of the day, the choice and the decisions are up to you. So you could say, I'm in the business, well, Kutumi and I are in the business of empowering people, not telling people how to live their lives or make decisions for them.
Okay, so Kutumi will say, you need to know that you are in a very bad place right now, and you may take your life, but if you take your life, you're going to come back and have to do it all over again, and all the stuff you hated now that brought you to where you are, you're going to get back there again. So here's an idea of something you might do. Is that where we're...
That's where basically where is that, yeah.
But I guess it's not only about saving people who are suicidal.
No, absolutely not. More recently, probably the past 3 years, 3 or 4 years, I've been working more with groups, not doing so many one-on-ones. And with the group information, again, it's been teachings of empowerment for people. So again, presenting different perspectives, different ideas, ways of looking at life, ways of looking at the world, just basically presenting it with a perhaps a more objective view, as opposed to just seeing things as they've been labeled, as they've been presented to us through our programming that's come from our parents, teachers, whoever it is, that are giving us information based on their perspective, which is a limited perspective, because we can't experience everything from every single angle. So the information that is being channeled through me is just a different perspective. So it's giving you an opportunity to look at life from another view.
Well, we're sitting in your lovely home office here, which is very, I'm trying to describe this, it's quite kind of African. The walls are painted a deep ochre color almost, and you've got a number of what I would call, and I hope you forgive me for saying this, but sort of new agey type objects around you. You're very much in your comfort zone, but you get a group of people here for whom you are channeling, mm-hmm. and you bring Kutumi through. Are you bringing them individually messages? Like, do you say, well, Jack in the corner there, I'm being told here, or rather Kutumi will mm-hmm. say to Jack in the corner, mm-hmm. picking a name out of the sky, mm-hmm. You are in this situation and you have to do this. Is that the kind of stuff that happens, or are you giving general messages about the state of the world, the state of Johannesburg, whatever?
Howard, both of those scenarios have occurred. There have definitely been situations where people have been in the audience and he has singled someone out and given them very specific information, which has been spot on. But most of the time, it is information that is going to that the entire group can relate to, and they can take it and apply it in their own lives. And I mean, the amount of times that I have had people come to me after a session and have said to me, it was as if Kutumi was speaking directly to me. So it's global, but it's also very personal.
Now, these days, so many people are questing. A lot of the people who email me on the show, they're looking for answers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all doing that. I'm looking for answers. Mm-hmm. We all are today, because a lot of us are not entirely happy with the way things are structured in the world, and we think perhaps something is coming down the track to us and things have to change and all the rest of it. So I'm guessing that is one of the reasons why these people appear in your room here to hear the information. That's a hell of a responsibility on you, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't always try. I try not to think about it.
But what I'm saying, I suppose, in a roundabout way is, are you sure the messages that you're channeling that come through you are coming out the way that was intended by whatever supposed intelligence intended it to come? In other words, are you interpreting it right? Are you interpreting it at all?
I don't know. To be completely honest with you, I couldn't say definitely yes or definitely no, because I'm a human being. I have my filters in place. I have my ego in place. But what I do is, when I am conducting a channeling, I set the intention that my ego and my personality step aside, so that so much of this being that I'm channeling is coming through. The one thing that I suppose I do take comfort in is that whatever is coming through is right for that moment. So the information that the people are getting is what they need to hear in that moment. How they interpret it is also entirely up to them, because I can present a message and everybody in that room may interpret it differently. I cannot be held responsible for the interpretation of the information. I can only be held responsible for the presentation of it, which I take to heart. And very seriously. Yes.
Now, more so on radio, whenever I've done this stuff on radio, I will always get people who say, what are you talking to somebody like this for? This is somebody who gets a group of people and just provides them with whatever she thinks is right. And it's a big contract, the whole thing. Less of the case here on the internet, because people who are listening to this are people who want to. Mm-hmm. But there are skeptics out there, and there are people who will say that. And I guess you faced that before. What do you say to people like that?
Well, not even God gets to please everybody all of the time. So, you know, there is always something in the messages, whether you believe it or not. It could be a word, it could be a sentence that is speaking to you. If people can take the message rather than wasting time and energy dissecting and analyzing the messenger, then maybe they just get some value out of what's actually being presented to them. So people place too much emphasis on, as I say, the source or who's providing the information rather than just extracting the gift from that moment.
Something that I've been a bit quizzical about, okay? I've had the luxury of having heard some of the recordings of your channelings, which I know that you make available on your website, don't you? We'll talk about that a little later. The Kutumi, when you're channeling Kutumi, appears to use phrases that you might use, like Kutumi wants you to kick ass or whatever, which makes everybody laugh, and it's very good, and it's a great icebreaker for a group of people. But I thought to myself when I've heard those things, well, would a higher being use phrases like that? Well, yes, he would if he was trying to make an impact on those people, but no, he wouldn't if he really was a spiritually ascended being of light.
Well, there I would imagine that we're basically projecting our own perceptions of what a spiritual being should or should not be onto Kutumi or whoever else it is. We have this idea that because someone is spiritual or an intelligence is of a higher caliber, that they won't say certain things or behave in certain ways because it's unacceptable. But then again, that's just our perception and our judgment of that. So if Kutumi has to use a couple of words to get a message across, he's going to do it because his role is as world teacher, and he will use whatever mechanism he needs to get the message across in such a way that people understand him.
And how did he... Is Kutumi he?
I imagine so,
okay,
yes.
Okay, well, we'll call him he for now. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. How did he connect with you first? How did he decide that he wanted to use you, Michelle, as the channel for him?
Well, as far as I understand it, this was something, the connection had been made even before I was born. So having come into this lifetime, that connection was there. I have a good couple of memories of my earlier childhood, of a presence, of a being, which I then later realized was in actual fact Kutumi, and he had been there all along. It was a very familiar feeling that I'd had with me throughout my life, and when Kutumi presented himself as my master teacher, I recognized
so
the connection.
He was there when you were a kid?
Yes.
Okay, in what form? How were you aware of that when you were a child?
My childhood was a very traumatic one, and there were times I remember when I was afraid, feeling alone, there was this presence of incredible comfort and safety that I would always feel. And I then realized later on that it was him.
Now, those awful skeptics would say, you know, not everybody has the easiest of childhoods in this world of ours, sadly, but they would say, well, he's a child running to something that is a comfort zone, like an imaginary person, a friend out there. If the child has no friends or if things are traumatic around the child, they go into a world of their own. So those skeptical people who might hear this now might say, well, that's what you were doing as a child.
Well, if I was doing that as a child, it was very comforting, and it worked for me anyway. And that was my reality, let's put it that way.
And when did Kutumi, through you, first give somebody a piece of information that meant something to them?
That was actually when I did that guided visualization the first time when he came through. The message that he'd given to the people was something that really touched people's hearts at that time. I'd had absolutely no recollection of what happened, which initially was quite disconcerting. And it was at that stage that I decided if I was going to be doing this, I would like to, have benefit from it as well.
So you had no as you said, no recollection. Mm-mm. You didn't remember what you'd said.
Mm-mm. Absolutely nothing.
And how significant was it? Was it an important message? Were you told later?
I was given the gist of it, and I'll be honest with you, I really don't remember. As I say, it was 12 years ago. But it was then that, I mean, my life changed significantly in terms of the work that I'm doing. And it's been a wild ride ever since then. But I suppose well worth it.
And you've got, if we were to talk about you like a dentist or a doctor, you know, you've got a little practice going here. You have your clients. They find you, just as I found you. Mm-hmm. Would you like to take this further? Would you like to take this to a bigger platform? Or are you quite happy being here in your nice home in Johannesburg with your lovely trees around you and your swimming pool out there, mm-hmm. just doing this forever?
No, Howard. This needs to expand. But you know, it has expanded over the 12 years that I'm doing it. I am reaching a lot more people than I have before. But I have faith that it is going to continue growing, and I'm allowing that to kind of unfold in its own way. I mean, you are here interviewing me, and there are going to be a whole bunch of new people listening to what I have to say, skeptics or non-skeptics. It's going to go where it needs to go. I do travel overseas quite a bit as well. I take groups to sacred sites around the world, and we do stuff. And
What kind of stuff?
Oh, well, we do energy. We do planetary clearings.
Sorry?
Okay, basically what we do is we work with the energy of Mother Earth. So just as we've gone through trauma, so has she. And when we do this work, we work together as a group with a specific focus in mind, and that focus would be to uplift the energies of the planet, uplifting the energies for Mother Earth and for every other human being on the planet. So we will go to places like Egypt, for instance, which is where I've just come. I was there in April with a group. And we would go to the different temples. And at the temples, we would do a specific meditation and invocations, calling in the energies of light. And at that same time, working with a specific intention to clear whatever negative energy might be there that could be inhibiting humanity's growth or Mother Earth's energy at that specific point as well.
And how did you know that you had to go there specifically to do that cleanup job?
Well, for the skeptics, Katumi told me.
And we'll give your email address later for them to get in touch. Now, look, I hate these radio and TV programs where the person who's obviously clearly agreed with the person they're talking to beforehand says, and you've kindly agreed to do so and so, the whole thing is a setup. But that's exactly what we've done. Mm-hmm. Before I came here today, you agreed to channel Katumi, mm-hmm. which I think is great because, personally, I'm surprised that you can do it to order like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a great thing to mm-hmm. do. But I'm a little unclear as to what you're about to do now. I guess you're going to go into a state of mind?
An altered state of perhaps self-awareness, an altered state of consciousness, where I can get my personality and my ego to step aside and clear my mind so that Katumi can present the information that he's going to present.
Okay, well, now this is on the internet. If we were on radio, I would have to say that we are presenting this for educational purposes only. We are not promoting this or propounding this. We're putting this in front of you so that you can make a decision. This is the internet, actually, where we don't have to do that, but I'm doing it anyway. So this is provided for you to make your own decision about. It is not provided for you as being the definitive answer to everything. I'm just putting it there because I personally think, and this is my show at the end of the day, that it'd be quite useful for you to hear this. What you make of what you're about to hear is entirely up to you, but I can tell you that everybody in this room today is doing this in good faith. I am. Michelle here is doing it. Everybody here around is doing this with the best intention, and we're putting it out there, and you decide what you make of this. So Michelle is now going to go into whatever state that Michelle goes into, and in a little while you'll hear the voice, it is claimed, of Katumi, the ascended being of light, talking to you. Okay? Is mm-hmm. that, have I done that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go for
yes,
it.
Yes, you have. Okay. I am Katumi, and I come forward upon the rays of love and wisdom to greet each of you at this time and to bring unto you the blessings of truth. As I stand before each of you upon this day, presenting to you an opportunity to understand the realms that exist beyond the human mind, I also offer you the divine blessings of unconditional love. A love that comes to you from a source infinite. A source that you are connected to, regardless of whether you know it or not. The human world is filled with a number of realms of existence. The existence in which you find yourself, in other words, the three-dimensional reality that you interact within on a daily basis, is but a drop within the grander ocean of what exists within you and all around you. It is vital that you understand that the human physiology, the human biology, and the constructs of the human psychology inhibit many levels of the human being's ability to understand what exists beyond what you see, what you feel, what you taste, what you smell and hear. It has been proven on many occasions that the programming that is instilled within the human mind, which is absorbed on a cellular level, influences how the individual perceives their life. If a child is taught that God is a woman, I guarantee you for the rest of their life, they will argue with you that God is female. If a child is taught that fairies exist, that angels can be seen, then so it shall be done. Humanity needs to open their mind and explore the realms that exist beyond their own limited viewpoint of their life, based on projections and perceptions that come from a reality that is in itself inhibited, limited by that in which it has been created. Many human beings claim themselves to have open minds, to be super intelligent, to be open to understanding that life presents many different opportunities to grow as a self-aware being. But in most cases, the mind is closed. The heart is filled with fear, because it is human nature to fear that which is unexplained. It does not matter how much is said by myself or any other discarnate being, or how much is said by any other incarnate being, with reams of proof that what lies beyond the human world is far greater and more expanded than one could ever imagine. For a skeptic at heart will always be a skeptic until they choose within themselves to venture into the worlds that lie beyond their programming and explore it. A wise man never passes judgment on the pathway of another until that one has walked in the shoes of the other, experiencing firsthand that which is being presented. There is so much to explore within your world. And if every person took it upon themselves to explore just one different avenue of their life, there would not ever be a moment of boredom to be experienced ever. Humanity has suppressed their own ability to evolve emotionally, mentally, and spiritually because of the physical constraints they place upon themselves, especially their own capabilities to do that which they have not been taught to do. Inherent within the human spirit is a capability to manifest all their needs as met, to manifest their goals as achieved. But the one thing that always sabotages human effort, human hope, and the success of the human being is the lack of belief in self, the lack of belief in life, and that something better exists. Human suffering is brought upon humanity by the belief in suffering. Much suffering can be alleviated simply by understanding that the role of suffering is there to reveal to humanity that it is not the only thing to be experienced. When one looks at duality, one can see that good exists because bad existed. And you can experience good because you have experienced bad. Unfortunately, the human psyche has become trapped in the belief that their lot in life is one of suffering, that a good Christian or any spiritual person must suffer in life in order to deserve the love of God, the love of spirit, or whomever it is they choose to worship. There are an infinite number of pathways to freedom. It is up to the individual to find their individual truth, the truth that opens their spirit to an expression of joy, of harmony, and of peace. One that inspires the individual creatively, one that inspires the individual to be in a state of co-creation, living harmoniously and in balance with all forms of life. Your world is at war because human beings are at war with themselves. Your inner conflict, your self-hate, your lack of self-worth, and the belief that you do not deserve good is reflected in all areas of life. For life to change, one needs to make a choice. Everything in life begins and ends with you. If your life is not what you choose it to be, then choose it to be different. And take the action. Forget the excuses. Leave behind all justifications to why it cannot work. Put your money where your mouth is and go out there and make it happen. It is very easy to make excuses. It is the simplest thing on earth to find a reason why your suffering is justified. But it takes true guts, true courage, and the true heart of a warrior to step out into the world, to be different, and to choose to make the changes that are necessary. People lock themselves in their homes and in their hearts, afraid to step out and say anything different, be anything different, for fear of rejection and ridicule, for fear of being ostracized and labeled as different. But that is not going to bring the change to your world. If you truly want to make a difference, live your life authentically. Ask yourself why you believe what you believe. Ask yourself, what tangible proof do you have that a channel cannot channel, that a fairy does not exist? What tangible proof do you have that God exists? What physical, tangible proof do you have that love exists? You feel love. It is an emotion inside of you. It is not something that is tangible. God, you feel, is real. You don't see it. But do you know what? believing is seeing. The fact that your physical human eyes do not permit you to see something that exists within a dimensional reality different to the third dimension does not mean it doesn't exist. Your modern technology, cameras specifically, have the capacity or the capability to capture that which lies within other dimensions that the human eye cannot capture. One of these are orbs and other anomalies that are captured on camera. There are sounds that are captured on recording devices that the human ear cannot hear. There are things that a canine can hear that a human cannot hear. So then why does a human take it upon themselves to pass judgment that it does not exist, whereas they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a dog can hear what they cannot? So, beloved ones, my challenge to each of you is to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of the world of your belief systems that you have taken on, and to truly, truly explore what you are all about, why you believe what you believe, why you do what you do, and what the truth, in truth, is. May the light of all of that which is truth touch you, inspire you, and motivate you to be authentic, to be courageous, and to look all negativity, all skepticism, and all rejection in the eye, knowing that you have your dignity in place because you are being true to yourself. Peace be with you always. I am Kutumi, Kohan of the Golden Ray of Love and Wisdom, and I greet and bless you in love, Adonai.
Those were the words of Kutumi, channeled through Michelle Eloff here in Johannesburg, South Africa, on this winter day here, summer day up in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, Michelle, you've just come out of, I don't want to call it a trance, but I guess it was something like that. How do you feel?
Right now, just a little bit spacey. That just lasts for maybe another minute or so. And then I feel pretty energized and quite normal again.
Do you remember anything that's just been said? I mean, I'm doing all of this in real time, so there have been no edits here. This is exactly as it happened. Do you remember any of it?
There's bits and pieces that I can remember, words here and there. It's kind of like having been asleep and having had a dream and waking up, and there's little bits and pieces that can be recalled from the dream, but that's about as much of it.
Well, it sounded like to me it was Kutumi giving a beginner's guide to himself, itself, herself, and telling people that what you think you can't achieve, you can achieve, and also telling all those skeptics that what you can see is not all there is. I guess that's where we are. But I imagine if you've done this a bit, you've heard that message before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Now, what are you going to say to those people who are going to email me? They may well have sent the email already while Kutumi was talking before.
Yes.
To say, that's just you talking.
Well, you know what? That's great. Maybe then I should put myself on a list for some kind of award for really doing that really well. And again, you know, did the message mean anything to you? Was there anything in that message that you can take, regardless of whether I said it, whether Kutumi said it, or whether whoever else it was out there said it? Was there any value in the message?
Well, let me tell you that, I mean, it's not new to me that we can all achieve things that we never thought we could achieve simply by believing that we can achieve them. But to a lot of people who may hear this, that could all be news. That could all be front page news for them. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's where we come from. But it sounded to me like a beginner's guide to, okay, here I am, and do with this whatever. Mm-hmm. The one thing that struck me is, though, that what I heard was a great narrative, one part related to the next part. And all I can say, and I have to remain professionally skeptical, at least I have to take a detached view of it all I can say is that I think it would be very hard for me, although you have had a lot of experience at this, so that might explain it, but it would be very hard for me to just put myself into a closed eye state and come out with 20-odd minutes of material that made some kind of sense. Most people would find that difficult, I think.
No, that is very true. Howard, 20 minutes is actually a walk in the park. Because Kitumi has done that for 2.5 to 3 hours at a stretch without missing a beat.
I've heard your channelings go on for an hour or more, and you sound as, well, the voice sounds as animated as it did at the beginning when you get to the end of the thing. And that's quite an achievement. But my skeptical listeners are going to say, and I have to put it to you because that's what I'm here to do, that of course you're going to be able to do that because you have been doing it for 12 years.
Okay, okay.
But what, I don't know what you can say to that, but
no,
whatever, say.
No, look, there isn't anything really to say. I suppose, look, the truth never needs defending because it reveals itself in its own way. And I have a healthy respect for skeptics because there is definitely a part of me that is skeptical as well. And I think it's good not to take everything at face value. But, you know, if they are willing just to put aside their skepticism and listen to what is being presented, then that's it. Maybe we can walk away agreeing to disagree
with one another.
You know, professionally, well, true enough, professionally I've always loved the phrase news you can use. So let's, for all the people listening to this, I hate the phrase all the people listening to the listener, the one listener who is listening at any one time to this, let's give them something they can take away from all of this. Now, you listen to the channelings that Kitumi does through you. It is claimed that we are heading for very difficult times. You've only got to look at the state of the South African economy with interest rates going up and the price of gasoline, petrol going up here. Same deal in the UK. Here in Johannesburg, only a couple of days ago, I was in one of your big supermarkets. I think it was a Checkers supermarket, which is a big chain. And I heard a couple of old people talking together, obviously, you know, living on a pension, fixed income, and saying, oh, isn't it terrible, the price of everything's so bad. Well, I came away from London not that long ago and I heard people in supermarkets saying the same thing. So something is going on internationally. Does Kitumi, from the channelings that you've done recently, have a take on all of that?
Well, it's definitely a sign of the times. Things are changing. One of the things that he is trying to help us do is become more self-sufficient. Which would then be, again, why he probably... You said he spoke about people being able to achieve what they put their mind to. And I think that is a message that he does put across a lot.
But it's not only Kitumi who's saying that. I've had remote viewers on, like Major Ed Dames, who is a popular guest on this show, very controversial. One of the things he says is... be prepared.
Yes.
Do you know how to grow food?
Yes.
But he doesn't do channeling. He connects to the collective unconscious.
Well, I think everything up there that's got an aerial perspective of Earth knows that is what we need to be looking at. So, it wouldn't just be Kitumi's message. It's definitely a global or a universal message to us to wake up and actually have a look and take responsibility for what we've done and what we're going to be doing in the future.
Okay, sometimes Americanisms are great at summing things up. Here is what the Americans would call the kicker. This is the fundamental. This is where the rubber meets the road. I would be convinced, okay, totally convinced, if Kitumi was able to, and I don't know whether this has been done, you can tell me, simultaneously, even if the channelers were in different time zones, at the same hour, on the same day, channel the same message through different people who were not in contact with each other but knew about each other but hadn't coordinated what was going to be said. You can tell me if that's been done, but for me, that would be something on the way to proof.
There have definitely been messages like that have come through. I cannot say for sure if it was done on the same day at the same time, but I have received emails from people who have said, oh my goodness, this Kitumi channeled this and this person has channeled very similar information and it's also been one of Kitumi's channels. So yes, that has happened. Other things that have also been done is Kitumi has given some predictions. He hasn't said, for instance, such and such was going to happen, but he's, you know, he spoke with the Egypt trip. We did a channeling on the boat. I think it was the 23rd or 24th of April, and he said we must watch Asia. There's going to be huge change in Asia now, and the energy that we were bringing through at that time was going to crack through the darkest of hearts. And when the earthquake happened, I was getting emails from so many of the people that were on my trip and said, oh my goodness, this is what Kitumi was talking about, the cracking of the hearts, the earth cracking open. And so, yes, you know, some people interpret that as he's given information. The skeptics will say, yeah, right, well, whatever.
Well, if Kitumi's wisdom is needed anywhere, it seems to me, and I love this country and have for many years, but it seems to me that it's needed here, where you have and have had recently in the news, depending on when you're listening to this, xenophobic attacks on people who come to try and make some kind of life for themselves from very poor countries in Africa. They've been attacked as foreigners. The country's economy is not in the greatest state politically. Well, politically, it's always quite an interesting ride to look at how things are going here. You're going to have a new president. Nobody quite knows how it's going to go. So if Kitumi's needed anywhere, it's here, it seems to me.
Yes. I must admit, the information that we've been given about South Africa has been positive. I mean, they still, well, Kitumi and the rest of them, the beings that I'm in contact with anyway, reckon there's a lot of potential for South Africa.
Well, some of the so-called kind of New Age people that I know and have talked to here, I don't know whether you hate that term, but it's just well, it's a nice catch-all term, but it can be used as an awful put-down.
Yes,
I don't mean it in that context here.
I understand.
But a lot of them say that if, as a human race, were to pick ourselves off the floor from the terrible events that may well come down the track to us, a lot of people are predicting, it's going to start here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. They've often referred to sort of Johannesburg being one of the cities of light and Cape Town. There was also one stage where they were speaking about Harare in Zimbabwe as being one of the cities of light as well. So, you know, it's kind of the other thing. Now, this might just start a whole different topic, but I'll mention it anyway, is if you look at the chakras, and South Africa is considered the base chakra, well, one of the base chakra points on the planet. And the base chakra represents everything to do with survival, where you fit in, how all your needs are met. So if we look at Johannesburg or even South Africa as a base chakra point, we're dealing with all of that conflict. So it's dog eat dog. It's all about survival. Who's gonna fit in where? It's tribal. So, I mean, you've got all the tribes fighting against each other. So it's basically just acting out externally a lot of the things that I believe we as individuals are dealing with in ourselves, our own sense of self-worth, where we feel we fit in or where we don't fit in, having to deal with our own issues of survival, be it financially or trying to survive a dysfunctional family, that kind of thing. So that would be my interpretation of why South Africa is...
I had a great friend on TalkSport Radio in the UK called Mike Dickin, who sadly died last year. And one of his great phrases that I took on board myself was that everything's going to hell in a handcart, he would say. There are a lot of people who say at the moment the world is going to hell in a handcart. Mm-hmm. Political turmoil, economic problems, the price of everything going up, resources diminishing and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Has Kitumi got a message, or has he had a message to the world about what is going to happen? Are a lot of people going to die? Where are we headed?
He has definitely said that the earth changes are going to increase. So yes, there will be more people leaving, and that is part of their own sort of
leaving.
Yes, yes, yes.
You mean dying?
Dying, oh. Dying. Yes. He's also said it's geologically time for these changes
so
to happen.
So we're talking earthquakes, tsunamis, and other phenomena.
And other, natural phenomena. So I think the important thing is be aware of the fact of what's going on, but don't get caught up in the fear of it. We need to look at, you know, how we can salvage the situation and what can be done differently to make sure that not all is lost in one sort of fell Armageddon swoop.
Well, look, I've listened to some of the channelings from Katumi, and sometimes he says very general things. Mm-hmm. And doesn't give very specific answers, but says very general things like, you need to look to so-and-so, but doesn't tell you specifically what you have to do, doesn't provide you with a kit of parts. Why is that?
Because many times our own search gives us the lessons that we need. So it's kind of like, you know, if you are... A perfect example would be of going into the wild and putting the... a dead animal down for the pride of lions there to eat. Part of their life is to be able to go out and hunt for their own food. So it's the same thing for us. The hunt for whatever it is, the truth, is an important part of our journey.
Oh, okay, so I get it. So just like the animals in the jungle have to find their own food and fend for themselves.
Exactly.
We're not going to be given the answer if you follow this line of thinking. We're not going to be given the answer. We're going to be given the tools to find the answer.
Exactly. Otherwise, we become complacent. Mm. And what are we learning? Nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. A final message for the skeptics out there, if you have one, if you want to.
You know what? I love the fact that they're skeptical, and it takes all sorts of different people to make the world go around. And... if that is what they believe, it's fine.
Like I say, I have to remain detached, but I do get those emails from people saying, why do you put these people on? And why don't you do it like a political interview and nail those people to the floor? Well, just a little message here on this particular edition of The Unexplained to those people. In the nicest possible way, I did years of political interviews where you get politicians and you nail them to the floor for whatever they may say, and you get them to give you a 12-second or 20-second soundbite. This show is not about that. We're here to give you things to think about. That's all I want to do, and thank you very much to the people who've responded to this. Now, the lady we're talking to here in Johannesburg, South Africa, in this special edition of The Unexplained with me, Howard Hughes, is Michelle Irloff. Have I said that right? You know,
yes,
I'm English and all that.
Yes,
you know, we can't pronounce anything. We
no,
expect
Irloff is perfect.
Is it? Irloff is okay. Mm-hmm. You have a website.
Yes, I do. It's www.thelightweaver.org. And there's loads of free transcripts on my website where people can go and read a lot of the information that Katumi's channeled. And there's a forum so they can post new topics and give their 10 cents worth. There's a lot of information there.
Okay, www.thelightweaver.org.
Yes.
And if any of the people who've heard this want to email you through that website, is that okay?
Yes, they can email me through the website. No problem.
Hey, well, listen, thank you for giving me the time in your lovely ochre-coloured room here in Johannesburg. My name is Howard Hughes. Thank you very much to Graham Mullins, my webmaster, who, as always, has done great work getting this show on the net. Thank you to Martin for the theme tune, who he's working on a remix of at the moment. Martin, you're a top guy. I have not forgotten what you've done. Thank you to you. At whatever point in the globe that you've been emailing this show and listening to it, I'm able to just get a rough idea of how the show's going down. And more people in more and more cities on this planet seem to be catching on to the show. Tell your friends, please. This is what we call in the UK, I don't know whether you say that in the US or wherever you're listening now, but this is a cottage industry, okay? This is something that I do using the skills that I learned on radio in the UK, but I do it at home and I do it on a small scale, hoping that it will become something that is bigger, but that depends on you. So my website, where you can find links to Michelle, is www.theunexplained.tv. That's www.theunexplainedtv. I'm telling you that for a reason. If you're listening to this on iTunes or any other source, please put a hit on my website. Just come across, take a look at it, and if you get time, I would love to hear from you wherever in the world you might be. I'd love to get emails, love to get response and your ideas and thoughts. I've said enough for now. From Johannesburg, South Africa, this is The Unexplained. I am really Howard Hughes. That's my name. People in America don't believe that I was christened Howard Hughes. I was. This show will return. Thank you.